Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are continuing our sermon today from Genesis, the 6th chapter, verses 5 through 13, where we are talking about history, humanity, and the heart. Once again, that's Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, dealing with history, humanity, and the heart. And we are continuing this study or this narrative according to God, where God gives us an account of his observation and his record and his conclusion regarding what he observes. And we deal with not just this historical account, which is according to God and therefore according to truth, which is the word of God communicated to us, but it's also in relation to humanity and the heart, where we look at God and in particularly in relation to human affairs, and that is God in relation to the world. And history, once again, starts with God. It ends with God. God is the author and the finisher of whatever is, and that we typically refer to as history. And we're going to focus now more intentionally on humanity in relation to God's account, God's story, God's study regarding man. And God is not communicating this as if he's learned lessons from men, as the scripture says, who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor. This is God sharing and giving us the record, the report, if you will, for our learning, for our awareness, and not just for our awareness, but for our lesson and for us to recognize who he is and what he requires, and particularly in relation to his creation, and more specifically in relation to humanity. And that means you and me. So as we look now more closely at humanity, I want to offer you this 3D approach in relation to humanity. And this is within the context of history. And this 3D approach is going to deal with depravity, damage, and destruction. And that's what we're going to focus on. And then we're going to move from the 3D approach to one man, this one man within this narrative, within this account, according to God, on record, according to the word of God, is Noah. So we will take a 3D approach to humanity. That is the depravity, that's the damage and destruction. And we will also look at Noah, this one man who walked with God. And we will look at what the scriptures say in relation to both humanity and Noah specifically during this time. So as we look and move from humanity or history to humanity and look at man's condition in relation to God, we're looking at this depravity as recorded by God. And that is the moral corruption that is so pervasive that God observes and then concludes that he is going to destroy humanity and the earth. So this moral corruption, this wickedness, that's what depravity refers to, the shamelessness, the immorality, the perversion, the sinfulness is what leads God to this conclusion. And when we look at this, we use and we refer to God's record. That is what God says in his account, and that is, again, the wickedness of man that's pointed out in verse 5 here in Genesis chapter 6. It is not just wickedness, but it is great or abundant wickedness. And then we deal with the thoughts and imagination of his heart. That is the heart of humanity, which is only evil continually. So we're dealing with abundant evil or badness, and this is the description of humanity according to God. And then we deal also with this badness or this evil being the preoccupation of humanity. This is what humanity thinks on. This is what humanity desires. And this is the depravity that we are referring to. This is the moral corruption. This is the bankruptedness, if you will. This is humanity without shame, rejoicing in sin. And this is the time in which we live now, because as I've stated before, man hasn't changed. Man cannot change himself. He can change his appearance. He can invest in more cosmetics, which is interesting how well cosmetics sell, and yet cosmetics can do nothing to actually change humanity. They can just dress humanity up. You can spend on clothing. You can spend on education. You can invest in all types of things to boost your appearance and to give you a better feeling about you. And yet at the end of the day, apart from God, we are still bankrupt, shameless, sinful, morally corrupt, and wicked. And so the Lord goes on to, as he describes again, humanity, as we're looking at, again, at this 3D approach and dealing with depravity, the depravity of humanity, that man is wicked and corrupt, as the Lord explains in his word here in the sixth chapter of Genesis. And in verse 11, you find that the Lord speaks of the earth also being corrupt and filled with violence. And again, so humanity is in a state of ruin or decay, in a state of lostness. And this lostness is because of humanity's violence and corruption. And lostness is only understood truly in relation to God. Man has distanced himself so far from God because of his moral decay, because of his depravity, because of his sinfulness. And we deal with this as it relates to these words that are used to describe this violence, is the wrongness, the injustice and oppression. And we deal with so much right now in relation to this very subject. And it's so hard for us to come to grips with the reality that this is humanity. You learn in leadership often, as we're focusing on the depravity of humanity, you learn in leadership often that it's so important to understand expectations and to communicate expectations. And it's really interesting how we expect so much good from humanity and how we expect so little good and accountability in relation to God. And that is to say that we invest so much, we put so much confidence in man, and we put so little confidence in God and have so little regard for God, if any at all. And so we are focusing on the same humanity that is morally bankrupt. We are counting on that humanity to get us out of our bankruptcy. Now, there's a lesson in there as it relates to financial or fiscal responsibility, but I won't digress in that regard. But how are you going to teach somebody something about uprightness and goodness when you're depraved yourself? You're bankrupt. What can you offer to anybody when you don't have it? You don't have it to draw from. You don't have it to pull from. You don't have an account from which to give what humanity needs. And yet we put so much confidence in depraved humanity. And we tend to have no regard for the righteous God. The only one who can offer us what we need, we ignore. And the very ones who are in the same position that we are in our natural state, we have high expectations from them. And this is the great disappointment, not just of humanity, but for humanity. This letdown. And this is so interesting that as we focus on the depravity of humanity as communicated in the Word of God here in Genesis chapter 6, it's so interesting how even the church, the Christians now put their hope in man, and the scripture tells us that we're not to have confidence in man. He doesn't say that America or the White House or the president or kings and kingdoms are any exception. He tells us not to put confidence in man, but our confidence is to be in God. And yet now, even modern day, if you will, Christianity, the modern day church, the American church in particular, is all up in flux because we are looking to man, and man continually lets us down. And here we call ourselves the people of God, and we have no business with God, and all of our business, our entire account has been shifted over, and we've put everything into the bank of humanity, and that bank has been out of business for as long as man has been around since the garden, from the fall to this present day. Man in his natural state is bankrupt. Stop trying to draw from an account that's empty. Depraved humanity can offer depraved humanity nothing more than more bankruptedness. So this depravity is pointed out by God. Humanity in 3D, depravity. We are morally bankrupt in our natural state, and we have no shame about it. And shame on the church that we are leaning on depraved humanity to see us through this life when we say we call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we have moved our business from heaven to earth, and we are now expecting the bank of humanity to get us out of debt and to lead us on to greener pastures. Shame on us. So we look at this depravity, and again, according to what God says, and we look at the damage. That's the second D. Depravity and damage. Damage is described as harm and injury caused to something so as to impair its value or its usefulness or its normal function. Listen, we have damaged ourselves. We have damaged ourselves. Depravity leads to damage. We don't call it the fall because it's a special season in a year. We call it the fall because humanity has fallen because of sin. We manifest our depravity. We manifest our sin. And the sin that we manifest causes damage. That's why the Lord says in his word, he gives this relationship between man and the earth. The earth did not sin on its own. It did not cause its own harm. It did not cause its own destruction. But the inhabitants did the damage. And I'm not talking about we didn't hug enough trees. I'm talking about we corrupted the earth according to God's record, according to God's report, according to God's account, the true history, we corrupted the earth because of our depravity, because of our corruption, because of our wickedness, our violence, because of our sin. Depravity does damage. And this harm, this injury, we've not only caused it to ourselves, but whatever we touch, we corrupt in our natural state. What can an unrighteous man bring in terms of goodness? It's interesting listening to people describe others. We love the conversations where we exchange compliments and niceties, and when we talk about you and how great you are and how special you are, and this is the insult to injury for this young adult and youth generation in our day now, because we have spoiled them and we have made them think that God does not matter. And the only thing that matters in this life is them and their desires, their destiny, if you will, their dreams, if you will. We don't talk to them about depravity and damage and sin and moral corruption. We make it seem as if our children, our young adult generation, that they are the exception to the fall. Nothing to see here. Keep moving. Nothing to see at all. We make it seem as if this depravity and this damage has not touched certain people in this life. No, this 3D approach as it relates to humanity, this 3D lens through which we are looking at humanity and through which God has examined humanity and came to this conclusion based on his righteous observation, this touches everybody. This touches everybody. And as I always communicate in relation to this, you don't need research when the evidence is overwhelmingly obvious. Sin is pervasive and we have no shame. We have no shame, and we have become so confident in terms of humanity and in our confidence in ourselves, our confidence in one another, in our state of moral decay and corruption, that we now compliment one another in relation to sin, and we say that God is well pleased with the generation that not only knows not God, but lives in a manner as if there is no God. We don't even blush when we sin now. And the saddest part about it is we know that the world is corrupt as believers, but now believers are as corrupt as the world. And we continue to look to man for the answer. The damage has been done. We have damaged ourselves. We have inflicted harm upon ourselves. We call it self-harm, self-destruction. And then whatever we touch, we cause the damage that comes with the corruption that is humanity. You can dress a man up. You can put him in a white house. That doesn't make him pure. You can dress a woman up. You can send her to college. You can tell her to go out and dare to dream. And you don't have time for children. You don't have time for a husband. This is about you and your life. And then what? What happens when you get all the money you want, when you grab all the material things you aspire to have? What happens when you are success, when you are the who's who and the what's what? What happens after that? Is that happiness? No, that is corruption with contentment. That is sin with a smile. That is confidence in the midst of destruction and damage. This damage, this depravity has damaged all people. No one is the exception. Not you, not your husband, not your wife, not your children, not your mom, not your dad. No one is the exception. This is the natural state of humanity. And so our value, we have not been devalued by God. As a matter of fact, the Lord communicates to us that he loves us so that he gave his only begotten son. And so he has demonstrated his love for us according to our true worth, because we are created in the image of God. And yet we have devalued ourselves, and we get that confused because we feel like to value ourselves is to rebel more strongly against God. When in actuality, to value ourselves is to recognize the purpose for which God has created us and to turn to him. Man, we've done damage. We've done damage to ourselves. We've done damage to our families. I used to say that men used to be looked at as father figures, and now they're looked at when trying to figure out who's the father. We're corrupting our own homes. We're corrupting our families. We are planting children in three or four households. We are having shacking up with live-in boyfriend number three or number four, and the baby daddies and the baby mamas, and we have so much hatred and racism and bigotry and violence and corruption at the highest levels, from the White House to the projects. Nobody's exempt. We're damaging ourselves. And we wonder why life is so hard. We're still trying to figure out why things are so difficult. We keep looking. We keep trying. We keep digging in with this determination that we're going to just get better. And we try social action, and we try all of these movements, as if a movement is going to transform a corrupt sinner into a shining light, pleasing in the sight of God. I would say, don't make me laugh, but it's so serious, I'll say, don't make me cry. This 3D look at humanity deals with our depravity and the damage that we have caused through sin. We devalue ourselves, and God values us as those who he has created in his image, but we don't get exempt status when it comes to sin, and our value is not determined according to worldly objectives. According to earthly achievements, our value is understood in relation to God and pleasing him, his purpose for us. This depravity and this damage that has been done leads to the third D, which is destruction. Destruction, the action or the process of causing so much damage to something that it no longer exists or cannot be repaired. This is ruin, desolation, wasting, and spoiling. This is the destruction that God communicates to Noah regarding the earth. God is going to destroy humanity with the earth. And listen, this is not because God is unrighteous, but it's the very opposite. God is righteous and humanity is depraved. Humanity has done damage, and now it leads to destruction. This depravity and damage leads to destruction because the righteousness of God requires his righteous judgment. And yet he is so loving and kind and patient and good. God is not a good God based on a vote of confidence from the world. You've heard that before. Come on, let's give so-and-so a vote of confidence. And you hear that in coach talk. You hear that in sports. You hear it in politics. And listen, God doesn't need our vote of confidence. God is not God because you say he's God any more than he's not God when you determine that he isn't God. You're just demonstrating your ignorance in relation to God. And you know what? God is patient with your ignorance. The humanist says that God cannot handle this. God cannot make everything right the way that I see it. And therefore, I vote him out. And I'll take it from here. God is no longer the authority. He no longer has jurisdiction in my life. He obviously cannot handle the responsibilities that come with this creation and humanity. Thank you, but I'll take it from here, God. A matter of fact, I don't even think that the humanist gives God any acknowledgement, so they probably don't even thank God for anything. I think they see God as the little engine that could. If he's trying, but bless his heart, he just can't hold up to my standards. And yet, it's the other way around. This depravity and damage and this destruction that comes as a result of human depravity and damage is because we cannot live up to God's standards. And even so, he is patient and loving and kind. You can't figure God out with your little pea brain. And yet you're so confident in yourself that you're going to psychoanalyze God, or maybe spiritually analyze God, because you have become so puffed up in your knowledge that you've got God all figured out, and you're looking past your own depravity, and you're looking past the damage that we've done to ourselves and that we've done throughout this world. And you're blaming God for everything that's wrong. Humanity, from a 3D perspective. God has given his word regarding destruction here in the 6th chapter of Genesis, and it's all related to this depravity and damage that God didn't do, that humanity committed itself to, without so much as a blush for sin and damage. This corruption is pervasive. And it's not restricted to the time this pointed out here in the 6th chapter of Genesis. We experience in our day at this very moment. And I'm telling you, if you're putting your hope in humanity, you're lost, depending on somebody who's more lost to take you to a place this found, if you will. And humanity doesn't have that power, that capability. Humanity in its natural state is bankrupt. Only Jesus Christ is the answer. And that's the love of God demonstrated in the Son of God, the only hope for all of humanity. And Lord willing, we'll speak to this again when we meet the next time. And until then, remember to tell somebody how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.